Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today.
Welcome. This is Freedom Fighter 1776 with this week's Whistleblower Report, the Military Update, Truth for Health Foundation. Today we have a special guest. His name's Alex, out of the U.S. Army, and we have two very special co-hosts for today's show. We have Doc Pete Chambers, flight surgeon, Green Beret, 39 years military experience, and we have Dr. Lee Vliet, founder, president, and CEO of truthforhealthfoundation.org. Thank you all for being with us today. And I want to start off with our guest today, Alex, who is a 68 kilo in the United States Army, which is a laboratory technician. And welcome, Alex.
Oh, thank you for having me, Freedom Fighter.
So if you want to go ahead for the audience and give us a little background about who you are, how long you've been in the military, what exactly you do in the military, and we'll take it from there.
Okay. My name is Alex. I am 35 years old. I've been in the military for 12 years. I am originally from Romania. I joined in June 2010 as enlisted. And I have been a medical laboratory specialist for a 68 kilo for the entire period. And all of it has been on active duty.
Okay, wow. Probably...
And Alex, I know you've been involved in the PCR testing for the COVID epidemic. And I wanted to ask you to really focus on what concerns you. I know you're coming forward as one of the whistleblowers that is contributing to our truthful information to get to the public. So what are your key concerns that you've been seeing?
Well, my main peak concern is that the main test, and even the very first test that first came out, the first was developed in January 2020, and everything that came after it were not designed as people have been made to believe, and everything else has been based off of that. And not only that, but this test, which is not even a test, it's more of an amplification tool, is being used in a way for which it was never designed to be used.
Could you clarify that for our listeners to understand?
Yes, so the PCR, which is it's in its name, polymerase chain reaction, it takes some form of genetic material, whether it's DNA or RNA, and it multiplies it, magnifies it to something that's actually measurable, because DNA and RNA, they're so minuscule they cannot be detected by except with these molecular tests. And they are run at such a high amplification, which means the cycles of multiplication, amplifying. So the way it works is if you have one molecule, after 10 cycles, you're going to multiply that molecule times two by itself 10 times. So it'll be 2^10. So you're going to end up with a lot more material, genetic material that you ended, that you started off with. So it gives you the illusion that you have something there, which is actually not there in a way.
Oh, okay. Dr. Chambers, you want to comment on what you're seeing with the use of the PCR?
Absolutely. First of all, I'd like to thank you, Alex, for coming on, because I understand what it takes. And so does our primary host understand what it takes to become a whistleblower. You know, people ask me all the time, what does it take to become? It must be, you know, must be tough. And you know, it is when you get the second and third order effects of what we call the shadow regulation system. And so you do put a lot out there, and I congratulate you for that. Regarding the PCR testing, let me tell you my example, because I think this is a great combination, having the lab guy, the subject matter expert for polymerase chain reaction testing, which I don't believe it's a test either. It is an amplification tool. But and then marrying that up with a guy like me who on the ground during the COVID response in the state of Texas under the governor's task force was required to create teams to go out. And we did hundreds of thousands of PCR tests in the state of Texas, which resulted in closing meatpacking plants. Some of them one had 18,000 people that we tested over 24 hours. They shut that plant down, and there was literally nobody that came to that line that was symptomatic, not one. And what kind of question I would have for you, and as a physician, I can tell you I've never used this in my 20 something years of a primary care physician, use this type of testing in mass screening. Even the person that Dr. Vliet can attest to it as well, I would imagine, that we don't do that in the emergency room. It's a confirmatory test if I even go there. But if somebody's symptomatic, and we have a saying, if it sounds like a horse, if it has hoofbeats, it's probably a horse and not a zebra, right? It's just okay. So I don't need this kind of test. So using it like this, there were so many false positives, so many. And I'd like you to kind of help us with that and kind of walk us through why that would be.
Were you asking?
Yeah, for Alex.
Alex would, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Alex,
from his lab background, if you could explain why there's so many false positives.
Now, one of the main issues with the testing that's going on, even in the US, throughout the world, there are no standard SOPs or standard operating procedures as to how you collect the specimen, how you process the specimen, how you store the specimen, how many cycle thresholds you run the specimen at. So that's a huge problem, that there seems to be no control whatsoever and no clear guidance. And that's sometimes you will see that in certain areas, you'll have a huge amount of positives, regardless of if people are actually sick or not, versus if you reduce the cycle threshold, you can manipulate it and give the illusion that nothing's really happening anymore. And currently, the FDA has just emergency use authorized hundreds and hundreds of tests, and all of them don't quite function the same way. They don't all function exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So Alex, let me jump in real quick. So you mentioned the cycle threshold rate of these tests, specifically in your career field as an Army laboratory technician. Were you taking in samples at a clinical level? So meaning people would come in and test, and you'd take that sample and you'd perform testing on it, and then furthermore, the second point to that is, if you did do that, what cycle threshold were you using?
So I have done both surveillance and clinical testing. I've done clinical testing at the clinic here on base on Fort Meade. I am stationed at Fort Meade. It's called Kimbrough. I don't normally work for a clinic, but my assistance was requested mid-December through the end of January of 2022. Because there was this explosion of cases going on. And then all the lab techs, we were working a shift just to process the specimens because we could only process so many in an hour. And all of them were ran at 45 cycle thresholds, which means in a way, if it's simple, if you just put on a calculator, you do 2 to the power of 45 and you get something like a trillion times of what material you originally started with. That's if that's only if you had a single molecule. If it's amplified so many times, you get trillions of your original sample. So it gives you the illusion that you have something when really you might have absolutely nothing at all other than just trash inside your collection tube.
So when you run it at a 45 cycle rate threshold, you're saying that majority of those, and correct me if I'm wrong, but majority of those are going to be a false positive test?
That's correct. And that's even as low as approximately 33 to 35 cycles. This is based on studies attempting to grow to grow the same material in a laboratory culture. Anything that was collected between 33 and 35 would give up about a 97% false positive or worse. Literally nothing grows after 35 cycles. Nothing will grow in actual culture.
Well, this is Dr. Lee for America jumping in. That is for our listeners to understand exactly what they did to ramp up the fear and terrify everyone that COVID was running rampant, running these PCR tests at a high frequency of cycles ends up making a very high false positive. And you just heard the lab technician say that it can go as high as 97%. So that means almost everybody who was getting a PCR test, particularly these new home antigen kits, which are even less reliable, are going to test positive, whether they're really sick with COVID or not. And I know our other medical officer and doctor can comment on that.
Yeah, I would love to. This is fascinating to me, and I had heard that, but listening to it from somebody within my own ranks, and then understanding, and then listening to other people. Dr. David Martin was out there, did a show, and I listened to him, and he was talking about the patents that existed before COVID was a thing. You know, some of the PCR testing patents came out before COVID was even an issue, and so what he said was really profound. And he said, and I'll quote him, he said, "You can control providence of the virus and its detection." And think about what that does for companies, the big pharma companies that are out there. If you can control not only the providence, but the detection of it. And if you have something that's false positive, what does that do for sales? Let's say if there was some sort of nefarious reason for this. And that's a concerning thing to me because of the fact that not only did we shut down, but that's we shut down the meatpacking of the state of Texas over this thing, right? This is a huge, huge loss. That's when meat prices went through the roof, and my family in the cattle business lost jobs over this. So there are second and third order effects that are just tremendous. But so, yeah, it's fascinating.
Doc Chambers and Doc Leet and Alex, correct me if I'm wrong. So where we have a pandemic based upon a PCR test of individuals who pop positive, and we have an out of control, non-standard operating procedure for the threshold rates that these tests are run at across the world. So if I have this correct, we're basing an entire pandemic on case rates of a PCR test. Is that correct, Doc Chambers? Did I get that right?
Yeah, exactly. That's you know, you're much more concise way of saying what I said. That's exactly right. There was no need, and there's no in the history of medicine, as far as me practicing, have I ever used it as a screening tool? And Dr. Vliet, what would you share with that?
Oh, absolutely never have we used a qualitative test like this as a diagnostic test to say that someone has a disease. I'll give you a listener's example for people out there in the audience. For example, women who get mammograms, that's a qualitative test. That's an analogous to the PCR. And what that means is, okay, you got a lump on a mammogram. It doesn't tell you squat about whether you have cancer, whether it's benign, whether it's inflammation, what it is. You need diagnostic tests. A PCR test is just like that. It just tells you that there's a viral particle there that's been there for Lord knows how long, could have been a year ago. And it has no bearing on whether you actually have COVID. And particularly when they're checking PCR tests in asymptomatic people, it's probably from an old infection and it's a viral particle that's amplified with all of these cycles. We knew they were doing it in the civilian hospitals. I had whistleblowers telling me that from the get-go. They would run it at 48 cycles so that they got more positive tests on the ER patients, so they had more admissions, so they could make more money.
Wow.
And so from what Alex is saying, that's exactly what they're doing in the military. It's a conspiracy to gin up the numbers and terrify people and justify the experimental shot that's now killing people. That's the bottom line.
Doc Flea, you brought up a good point, the asymptomatic testing. So in the military, and Alex, I'd like to get your viewpoint on this. Back in, I want to say it was back in November of 2021, the DoD came out with a protocol for all the unvaccinated individuals that they must test on a frequency basis. And so, Alex, let me get your thoughts on that and your experience with that mandate that came down. If you would.
Yes. So my unit did not start testing until February of 2022. And I've refused on every single occasion. I refused to be swab because I knew everything behind it. And just one of the points to the asymptomatic testing. The most recent FDA guidance that I printed out is from August 11. It actually recommends repeat testing following negative test, and it recommends that individuals do it three times. So even if you're not sick with no symptoms, the FDA wants you to test up to three times, on the off chance that you produce a false positive. So this makes absolutely no sense whatsoever to keep testing until you get a positive, even though you have no symptoms.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that FDA guidance. I have it in my hand right here. And we'll post it for the viewers to see and link to. But it says the CDC 2019 novel coronavirus real-time PCR diagnostic panel. And what's interesting about this on page two, it literally says, the test cannot rule out diseases caused by other bacterial viral pathogens. What? That is absolutely incredible. Can you speak to that a little bit, Alex?
Oh, yes, because at the time this was created, the very first test that the CDC authorized was in February of 2004. And at the time, and since then, this alleged pathogen known as SARS-CoV-2 has never, ever, no institution in the world has ever proven its existence and its ability to cause disease in any human being. And that was stated in writing on this CDC document and on the Eurosurveillance document, which is also on the National Library of Medicine. It was said on both documents that no samples from actual sick patients were taken to design the test. Whatever this test was created with was simulated on the computer screen.
That's absolutely incredible. And I have one of the studies you're referencing. It says detection of 2019 novel coronavirus. And literally it says that in the present case of 2019 COVID-19, virus isolates or samples from the infected patients have so far not become available for the international public health community. So they're basing this entire thing off of a computer simulation. Is that what you talked about? The genomic sequence, which runs into a computer simulation. Is that correct?
Correct. This test is is based on not something that actually exists, but something that was a computer generation similar to that 2003 SARS, which was very likely just another computer creation.
Well, I think all of this was clearly by design, and we were seeing it play out in the civilian world. And of course, in the military, everything is under the cloak of military secrecy, which is why Truthfeld Foundation set up the Military Whistleblower Report to help the public understand how much under attack our own military is from the DOD leadership, who has been undermining military readiness and strength and health and fitness with these COVID policies that are requiring all of the unapproved masking, unapproved testing, unapproved vaccines, and causing injury. And then when someone gets sick, we also have military whistleblowers who've come forward saying that they're not even, they're kept out in the field when they're sick and not even allowed to get proper treatment. What's happening to our military is unconscionable. And I know that Mark, I know that Freedom Fighter and Doc Chambers have both been in the field seeing these damages.
Yes, and I'd like to add a little bit of something here. You know, just today it was reported, and it made it to mainstream media, which is a good sign to me, that according to an internal memo by the Pentagon's acting inspector general to the Department of Defense, which would be Lloyd Austin, written in June, the IG writes and reviews concerning denials of religious liberty accommodation requests and COVID-19 vaccine requirements. And I know that's not our subject here, but what the point of this is that, you know, the whistleblowers that were showing these things pretty early, not necessarily on the PCR testing, but on the damages the shot were doing. A lot of times we took a lot of grief for that. And my co-host will agree to that. There's been punitive damages. And what we're seeing now is we're seeing some cracks, some seams in this argument, and to me, the main question as a provider has always been, and it will be till the day I die, is how many is it going to take? How many more deaths? How many more debilitating injuries? You know, I had an injury Dr. Vliet was able to help me out with, and we worked together on my own particular case with this vaccine injury that I had. And mine is mild compared to some of them. I've had soldiers in the ICU with myocarditis, endocarditis, brain bleeds, cerebral vascular accidents. These things are destroying. In the words of Dr. Teresa Long on the stand, I'll never forget it, in Tampa, SEALs versus Lloyd Austin, you're destroying the military and our families of the military.
And the tragedy that all of us on the inside are seeing, whether civilian side or military side, and I've actually have evaluated a number of military patients for vaccine injuries. The tragedy is that they never knew what hit them because they were lied to and told that these were approved shots, approved test kits, approved masking protocols. All of that was a lie, and the leadership of the DOD and the Biden administration knew that at the time they implemented all of us. And it has been, as we have been calling out for the last year, it has been a systematic attack to undermine the strength of the military, purge those of Christian and Catholic views and constitutional conservative views, those who will stand to defend the Constitution as the military take an oath is to do, and those who are opposing the unlawful order to get an experimental shot and use unlawful test kits and masking policies. This has been a devastating attack, and this is why we're all coming forward. And it's people like Alex and Freedom Fighter and Doc Chambers in the military and many others that we've been involved with the foundation and our military advisory council, who are people of courage and faith, who are standing in the gap for everyone else and speaking the truth to this horrific abuse. And we're going to take a short break and be right back. This is Dr. Lee for America with the Whistleblower Report. Check our website, truthforhealth.org. We have resources for legal defense grants for the military. We have lots of resources and help. Vaccine Injury Guide, legal defense, medical freedom programs, educational documents. We are here to be your voice and help you. We will be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
This is Dr. Lee for America coming back with our whistleblower report military team talking about the abuses of the PCR test in the military to gin up false positives and then justify the unlawful vaccine order. That is my opinion as a civilian physician. I am not speaking for our military service members when I make that statement. They are all here speaking individually as citizens of the United States of America with their free speech rights to expose the lies and deception in our whistleblower report. Welcome back to our host, Freedom Fighter 1776, and our guest, Dr. Peter Chambers, Green Beret, Special Forces physician and flight surgeon, and Alex, our 12-year Army medical laboratory technician, whistleblower speaking out. Thank you all for being here.
Thanks for that intro again, Doc Fleet. I want to touch on before the break, we touched a little bit about these mandates that were pushed down with the service members in the what I call the weaponization of testing. And what I mean by that is going back, like I said, back to November of 2021, where the DoD came out with this testing protocol. And to me, it seemed like these tests were weaponized against service members in an attempt to get them to participate with the vaccine. Now, Alex, you said you didn't participate. And could you tell us a little bit about that? And then could you tell us a little bit about the difference between the PCR test and these rapid antigen tests that they've been handing out like candy in these boxes, whether it's Binance, Binax Now, QuickVue, or IntelliSwab? So Alex, I'll let you try to go through and discuss what happened to you and then and the difference between those tests, if you would.
Yes, so I refused testing. It was from February the 7th through the 11th, those five consecutive days. Then I happened to be on leave because I couldn't leave in advance knowing that something was on the way. So I was on leave throughout the rest of February. Otherwise, I would have been harassed the whole time. Then comes March 1st, and everything just disappeared overnight. In the blink of an eye, everything just disappeared. All the masking, all the testing just vanished. Now, I was charged with an article, a field grade article 15, for refusing to test on those five occasions, as well as refusing the influenza shot, because I refused the influenza shot too. Once I saw what was going on, I started questioning everything else in relation to the other injections. And I did accept the article 15. Because I don't believe I'll have any chance of proving to one military judge that refusing the flu shot was not a lawful order. Because two of my charges were for refusing the flu shot, and one charge was for refusing to get tested. And
Alex, you know, could you explain for the listeners what an Article 15 is, please?
Yeah, so Article 15 is UCMJ is punitive action. It's not decided in a court of law as opposed to a court martial. So it could be reduction in rank, or loss of pay, loss of privileges, flags put on you.
So what that means for those civilians listening, what that means is that by taking punitive action against this service member, when he had a legal right under the Constitution to refuse, means that his constitutional rights were being violated. And with regard to some of the specific mandates related to the COVID shot, those were unlawful, which we're carrying forward in the court of law and in the bringing it to the public awareness. And so here is an example of a military service member, like many others, who had taken oath to serve the Constitution and to defend it against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then he's being persecuted by his own leadership for exercising those rights under the Constitution he chose to defend. Let that sink in.
Doc Fleet, you mentioned unlawful, and I want to make it very clear that these testing protocols and these tests and devices we're talking about are experimental emergency use authorized tests. So currently there is no FDA approved and licensed products. And what I mean by products for COVID-19 is the masks, the tests, and the jabs. They're only under experimental emergency use authorized only. And for service members and quite frankly, the general public are protected by federal statute law that gives the individual the absolute right to accept or refuse these products. So Alex, you said you refused and all of these punitive actions happened to you. Was there an attempt to bring forth the federal statutes to your leadership, and what's your status now?
So currently my status, I was demoted, and because of that, I've reached RCP, which is a retention control point, which means I've reached a limit in my current rank and time of service. So I will be forced out, and possibly as early as next month. Although I've yet to receive any orders as of today, I have not received any orders. Now, in addition to the test that I was offered, it was specifically IntelliSwab, and on the very first page, on the first paragraph, it states that it cannot differentiate between SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2. So, what it is testing for is completely unknown. it takes you back to that very first document from January 2020 that says that it was based, all the testing protocols were based off the 2000 and 2003 SARS. So these current rapid tests, they cannot differentiate between these two alleged viruses. That's number one. All these tests, all the rapid ones pretty much have the same limitations. They do not rule out co-infections. The negative results are presumptive. So that means you're not necessarily considered not positive. So just keep test again until you get a positive. That's what pretty much it insinuates. And going down the limitations, they were established by testing only 145 individuals and comparing it to the PCR, which is already complete garbage. And even based on that, it only has 85% accuracy. The InteliSwab, the rapid test, only is 85% accurate when compared to the PCR. And the PCR is already fraudulent.
Wow, that's incredible. Yeah, because I know in the military specifically, they've been handing these things out like candy, using them as a coercive tool weaponized against the unvaccinated service members in an attempt to get them vaccinated. And here we are with a test that can't differentiate between any of the other infections and can't even tell us whether an individual is infected without a false positive. So that's absolutely incredible. And on top of that, you have the federal statute that protects individuals and their right to accept or refuse these products. But what Alex is saying, from what I hear, is he's literally been punished punitively for not participating in this. And he's a medical non-commissioned officer. He's a laboratory technician that was bringing this information up and speaking out about the flawed technology of these tests, and only to get punitive action and then discharge. Am I hearing that right? That you're going to be discharged from the military in the next month? Is that correct?
That is correct. As it stands right now, my current ETS is for October, but I have yet to receive orders.
You know, this theme of punishing good quality, experienced, dedicated military service members for not complying with these unlawful orders, and as Freedom Fighter so accurately pointed out, they are all experimental use products. None of them are FDA approved. This is just truly staggering, because both of our other co-hosts today have had the same issue. Freedom Fighter was persecuted for doing his job in a medical role, trying to raise awareness of the risk. Doc Chambers, talk about your situation and what they did to you when you were trying to look out for the troops under your command serving on the border.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I could write a book on this craziness, but coming in at 1983 under Ronald Reagan and watching the military through its growths and changes, I've never seen anything as dystopian in my life. This would not be real. If you were writing, you think they're making this stuff up. So on the border, when I was going to bat for my soldiers, when I realized myself I was injured and had some vertigo and, you know, little dizziness and things as it got worse and worse, and then I started looking at the VIRS data, and then we looked at the Defense Medical Epidemiology Database, I would try to go to my command and tell them, look, this is a problem. And I did two congressionals on the border, and nobody would listen to me until I actually became a whistleblower with Dr. Long and Dr. Sigloff and another one. So when we did that, then we became targets. And as a target, and there I was doing informed consents, and that's a requirement under an Army regulation. It's in the books, 40-562, in one of the chapters there, chapter 8. It says, this is emergency use authorization. You must give informed consents. I had a two-star in my office yelling at me, telling me, no, you will quit doing informed consents. Sent me an email, you will quit doing them. You will recuse yourself. You'll find somebody else to talk these soldiers into taking it, because I was not effective, I guess, in their eyes, at having people take the shots based upon the informed consent that I was giving. And that's where you tell a patient the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you say, well, if you need to get this gallbladder out, for example, these are the side effects you could possibly happen. This is the chance of infection, et cetera. Well, in this case, we're talking about a population that is healthy, young, and they're fighters. They're people that don't need, when you have a 99.997% chance of doing fine, just breathing, you know, or if you do get sick, give you some early intervention, you would do fine. And there's a secondary point here. It's my job as a flight surgeon and as a command surgeon, a task force surgeon, was to advise the command on combat readiness. We took some soldiers to put on the border with Texas, up to 10,000 soldiers. But as we're bringing them on, we're taking them to the range to tune up their weapons, right? To qualify. And they shut the training down because one person tested positive. And I started the training back up and said, "Hey, sir, I'm the doctor out here. Get out of my chili. We're quarantining this one guy, but I'm not stopping the training." Because those kind of silly things that they were doing, that was the problem with combat readiness. It was that, not the fact that some person tested positive who was asymptomatic. No, that doesn't stop us from doing our jobs. We do it with lesser intrusive means. That stops combat readiness, is what you are doing, Commander, what you are doing, Lloyd Austin, what you are doing, DOD. Come on, guys, get with the program. All right, that's all I got to say about that.
Doc Chambers, you make excellent point, and I want to bring in the why here, and the why that informed consent is so incredibly important, especially when we're dealing with these experimental emergency use authorized injections or products, whether it be a mask or test. And the why is this. The why is because the manufacturers of these products and the distributors of these products and the United States government and our and Alex's chain of command, Doc Chambers' chain of command, the military, they're all what's considered by statute law covered persons, in the fact that they have liability protections for if somebody does if an adverse event happens to an individual who chooses to participate with these products, the manufacturers, distributors, U.S. government is not held liable. That's why it's so critically important to understand that individuals have the absolute right to accept or refuse these products. And the United States government specifically the military in this case, is just absolutely ignoring that and unlawfully acting by punitive actions and measures against individuals like Alex. Alex, I want to go back real quick to your declaration you wrote for in support of the Sarin lawsuit. And I found it interesting. I want you to highlight on what happened to you, or what did you experience in March of 2020 when this quote unquote pandemic was happening at the previous unit you were at? Could you highlight that and talk about that real quick?
Oh, definitely. During that time, I was stationed at Fort Carson in Colorado, with the 627th Hospital Center, which is a field medical unit. And then we were one of the first units to rapidly deploy to Seattle. Specifically on March 27th, I deployed to Seattle, which was the hotspot on the West Coast, and then New York City was a hospital on the East Coast. And my field hospital and the other field hospital at that station at Fort Lewis, we set up a joint hospital at the stadium where the Seattle Seahawks play. And after about 2 weeks, we saw zero patients and we were sent home. So we were there for about 21 days, saw exactly zero patients, nothing was going on in Seattle. And then we got sent home. And while the media was telling us that, you know, this fairy tale, that there is some sort of a pandemic, but as my eyes did not see any such thing. It was all just nonsense, just complete nonsense.
That's incredible. So the media is pushing it out that there's this crazy pandemic going on. People are getting sick left and right. Military units, they're spun up and deployed in your situation. And you go to Seattle and you do not see a single patient. That is absolutely insane. And so I want to go over to Doc Fleet to discuss on something that just broke literally about a federal lawsuit, I believe, or one of these mandates.
Well, actually, it is breaking news. The Biden administration has backed off of the COVID vaccine requirements for federal contractors. Now, let that sink in for a minute. Federal contractors are civilian business people Of course, they're in a position to donate money to the politicians. But they have not backed off forcing our military service members to continue to use the emergency use vaccines with their known consequences and damages. They are not backing off the unlawful mandates on testing and masking for our military. So this goes to my point I made earlier, America, wake up and realize that your military that defends you and this country are being systematically undermined, weakened with the complications of these experimental gene therapy, inflammation-causing, damaging shots. And they are purging our military of the strong voices that stand up for constitutional rights for all of us. I find this announcement absolutely appalling. It is chilling in its implications, because at the same time, I just saw this change from the Biden administration. The U.S. Coast Guard and the other branches of service, because I'm dealing with some of these people on our legal defense grant program, they are being moved out of the military. And what you're hearing from Alex today, they're being moved out of the military as fast as the military can do it. And they are pushing more shots, more boosters, and they're adding requirements about the monkeypox one, which also causes myocarditis, and putting it on top of the damage from the COVID shot. This is a dire situation facing this country. And I'm not asking our military active duty members on this program today to make opinion statements and risk further jeopardy to them. But I want you to hear what I'm saying as a civilian who cares deeply about our military, our country, our Constitution, and I've always fought for medical freedom. We are under attack, and this is extraordinarily damaging. And we need every one of you listening to this show, wake up, speak out, get involved, and help us stand against this tyranny and destruction of our military. In the time now that I've had my rant, I want to give our military members to make a comment about what they would like our listeners to know so that we can all work together to help defend America.
I appreciate that, Doc Fleet. As of today's date, there's been 7,444 service members kicked out. And that number is only going to exponentially increase, especially given the fact that they're not stopping. And all of this is completely unnecessary. You're talking about one of the most healthy populations in the United States, your active duty military force, you know, largely young individuals that were never really affected by SARS-CoV-2 to begin with, or whatever we deem it to be. And here we are mandating and putting these just absolutely medical, tyrannical, unlawful constraints on them. And it is only damaging national security. At the highest level, national security is being completely decimated due to this just completely mindless thought process at the strategic level in our DOD. And so with that, I want to turn it over to Doc Chambers, and then we can finish up with Alex. But to give us his thoughts and what he dealt with his last couple of years in service.
Yeah, thank you, Freedom Fighter. So let me just say this, and I want the listeners to really let this sink in. We are currently in a state of what we call fifth generation warfare. This is only but one line of effort in this, and take it from a guy that knows about warfare. This is where we're at. I've used this before. I'm going to use it again, and I'll turn it over to our guest. We're on the beach at Normandy. It's June 6, 1944. I'm the commander. We're on the beach. I find an opening in the gap, and I say, there's only two kinds of soldiers on this beach, the dead and those who will die. Follow me if you want to live. And that's where we're at. You've got to just talk to your legislators. Become active. Do your civic duty to go out there. That is your duty. I did my duty. We've done our duty. We've sworn an oath. Get out there and use your civic duties to help us in this fight. Thank you.
Good call to action.
Absolutely. I really appreciate that. Alex, final words, thoughts, what the future lies for you? What do you think? What's the outlook looking like?
I haven't made any decisions yet. However, I will never again work anywhere near a laboratory or a hospital after all the fraud I've seen. And it continues to be worse unless people start questioning what they're being told and doing their own investigating and researching. This nonsense will just continue and continue forever, at least until a new distraction arrives.
Freedom Fighter, you want to issue your warning to the public, and then we'll close for today and stay tuned for another Military Whistleblower next week.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. People need to stand up and speak up. And the most important thing is the children can't stand for themselves. Us adults, we stand in the gap and we speak up for the children. The children are the ones that are absolutely the most affected right now, being muzzled and forced into these and coerced into these products. So people need to speak up. Like Alex says, educate yourself, understand what's going on, and do your civic duty. As Doc Chambers brought up, back to you, Doc Fleet, to close us out.
And our civic duty was actually given us as a model by none other than Dr. Martin Luther King in the 60s civil rights movement, when he showed all of us the rights under our Constitution and how well it works. Peaceful civil disobedience, non-compliance with things that are unlawful and violate our Constitution. We need civilians to just say no to the unlawful mandates, just say no to all of these test kits. They have them on the grocery store checkout counter, for heaven's sakes. You don't need a test kit every time you get a sniffle. Let's grow up, get strong, use some common sense, and let's take our country back and live in freedom as God intended for us. Thank you for joining us today on the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org. Join our crusade. We are silent no more. We urge you to sign up for our email alerts, donate to support our legal defense work to secure the human and civil rights secured by law, and to live our lives in accordance with the U.S. Constitution and God's truth. We are here to bring you hope and solutions for such a time as this. With all that is assaulting our way of life, join us and stand strong against the lies and deception, and speak out, get loud, get involved. God bless you. And thank you for joining.